Hear the Gospel of our Savior Christ, according to St. Luke, chapter 11, beginning at verse 42.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
But woe to you, Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and herbs and all kinds, and neglect justice and the love of God. It is these you ought to have practiced without neglecting the others. Woe to you, Pharisees! For you love to have the seat of honor in the synagogues and to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces. Woe to you, for you are like unmarked graves, and people walk over them without realizing it. One of the lawyers answered him, "Teacher, when you say these things, you insult us too." And he said, "Woe also to you lawyers, for you load people with burdens hard to bear, and you yourselves do not lift a finger to ease them." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Amen. Well, friends, it is good to be here. Thank you so much for the invitation to come. I know there might have been a little bit of confusion with our readings today, as is custom to do the Sunday previous, but we are doing today, and it will become apparent as to why we are doing today's readings as we go along. Listen, a lot of things can happen in 10 years, can't it? I think of my own journey. 10 years ago, me and my wife Sarah and our two boys, Liam and Jude, were arriving on these shores from the United States. We had no idea what we were getting ourselves into. In fact, I came to study at Queen's, and we moved into a house. We hadn't seen it. We just showed up, and there it was, and we moved in. And for the American, there was no clothes dryer. There was no microwave. We didn't have a car. We had to walk wherever we went, or take the bus or the train. And to think, 10 years later, I'm in the chapel at CITI. Goodness gracious. And I have one of these on to boot. Goodness me, it's not what I thought would happen. I think about Ballylesson, the parish that I've been called to serve in for this season. 10 years ago, this was a parish that was dead. They were about to close the doors, and the bishop at the time basically said, "Look, close it, amalgamate it, or revitalize it." And it went from being a place that had maybe 15 people to now being a place that there are two full-time workers, a rector and myself as a family and youth and community worker. It's a beautiful thing what happens in the course of 10 years. At the same time, I think a lot of harvest, we're in the midst of harvest and seasons, as many parishes are doing harvest. And I think that for me, when I see these particular readings all grouped together, that there is something indeed that needs to be brought out in light of harvest, or in light of what it is that we're doing, and in light of what 10 years from now will look like for each of us. Nay, these readings bring us to this place of a type of preparation for ministry, don't they? It may seem interesting that I bring it up that way, but if you're paying attention to Psalm 1, right, there's this statement in the second verse, "Whose delight is in the law of the Lord, who meditates on this law day and night." Many of you students are really meditating on the law day and night. And the studies and what you're actually supposed to be taking from the studies that you're doing, and what we're meant to be doing with those studies. But the other readings give us kind of a tale of two different paths, don't they? Nay, delighting in the law is something that the Pharisees and the lawyers seemed to do, isn't it? They love the law. They loved it so much that they would argue with anybody if they saw somebody breaking the law, right? Or throwing stones, potentially, other things. But they loved the law. And the lawyers loved the law too, didn't they? They loved getting into the nitty-gritty of what does it really mean? What does that actually mean in the terms of Scripture, in terms of history, in terms of our tradition, in terms of the things that have been passed on to us? How do we live rightly by God? Well, we follow the law. And we are the gatekeepers of that very law. So one could argue that they actually did delight in the law of the Lord, which makes us ask the question, what does delight look like and what does it mean? It may be a question of what the motivation is behind delighting in the law of the Lord. Because that's what Luke in this gospel presents to us, doesn't it? This woe to you language, woe to you Pharisees, because you love the issues. Because you love to be seated in the synagogues and have power and privilege and place. How many of you have encountered a rector or two that really, really love their power, their privilege, and their place? Potentially an archdeacon or even a bishop. And those who take such joy and privilege in being a professional Christian. Now, this is where, when we get to Galatians, there is some lovely words for us. Especially in light of thinking of what it is we do, and we come to learn to study theology, and we come to learn to be ministers and to go out into the world. Because even if you're here not as somebody who's training for ordination as an ordinance, you are here as somebody who is called to be a minister in Christ's church, regardless of where you stand. And it's for us all to hear these very words. And so we see in Galatians, if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now, it's easier to see the acts of the flesh. And for most of us, I mentioned to say that some of them, we actually are like, yeah, no, we know, we're not going to do that. I'll leave that to your imagination, which ones they are. Then, when we think, though, of these other ones, right? Here you have idolatry, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, and the like. That sounds like a vestry meeting, doesn't it? but the point is still hard and fast, that it is these very things that lead us to a word that I would describe as desire. Because those words are rooted in the desire of the self, much like the Pharisees, and the reality of power, place, and privilege. The idolatry of the self, the idolatry of place and privilege, and being generally a grumble. Right? These are the things that we constantly have to be working diligently against, not only in our parishes, but in our own hearts, in our own minds. As we ask, what is our motivation? What is it that we're actually doing when we stand in front and lead and preach and serve? To what end? And we keep reading these words of encouragement. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You notice most of these things when you actually encounter them. They are things that are inherently aimed somewhere else rather than inward, aren't they? They're words that describe relationship. They're words that describe others and how you engage and interact and are with the other. It's an outward expression of that which is given to us by the Spirit in which we sit in and are led by. Nay, this tale of two paths is something that's really, really important for us. Because you essentially have the ability to come into college, to learn, to study, to be an expert on the Bible, on church history, on practical theology, on all of the things on homiletics. You can be an expert. But what you do with it when you go ahead and you find yourself in a few years' time as a deacon, or as a curate, or as a rector, and how you handle the things that you have learned and have been given, tell the tale of these divergent paths. I'm going to throw a third one in because I think this is probably where we ought to head. There is the Pharisee and the lawyer who is obsessed with rightness, who is obsessed with place and right religion. But in light of fruit and in light of harvest, I want to suggest that we ought to be more like farmers. Now, I'm not a good farmer. My father was a son of a farmer in the Texas Panhandle and knew a thing or two about farming. I once tried to have a garden in the greenhouse in my back, up the stairs in the shed. There was a greenhouse, and I said, I'm going to grow tomatoes. And so, as you know, when you're going to grow a crop of tomatoes, you have to be very careful with them. You have to treat them very delicately. Too much light, they shrivel up and die. Not enough light, they shrivel up and die. Too much water, you guessed it, they shrivel up and die. Not enough, they shrivel up and die. You would think that tomatoes would be one of those easy things. You just leave them alone and they grow. No, they don't. So I'm not an expert farmer. But the metaphor of farming, of land, of inheritance, of agriculture, something that I think is actually really important for us as we head into ministry. In fact, I would say that a big part of my understanding, not necessarily even of the scriptural ties to land and inheritance and spiritual growth and relationship, that came as I spent time studying. It was actually an American author called Wendell Berry, who was the first one to actually insert in my mind that if you want to be a minister, practice farming. Get on your hands and knees, put the welly boots on, dig the holes, plant the seed, do the work. Yeah, you rely on God for the rain and the sunlight and those sorts of things, but you've got to care for your plot of land. In fact, it's so important that you care for your plot of land that you don't necessarily mind what's happening on the plot next door. Because you're not egg farming for a huge raft of people making white bread that will make a sandwich for everyone that's somewhat nourishing. No, you want a crop that is sustenance, that is a nice wheaten loaf that will feel a few within what you've been given in the plot of land. And for me, that is the picture of what it means to be a minister. To walk into a parish, to look at what's in front of you, and to farm it. Not to be a Pharisee or a lawyer, but to care deeply and to serve humbly the land you've been given to look after. To embody these gifts of the Spirit, to walk in the gifts of love and joy and peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. See, I come back to Psalm 1 in that second verse where it says we are to delight in the law of the Lord and meditate on it day and night. And we look at the word delight and you take away a couple of things from delight. First thing that delighting is dwelling. Dwell in the Lord. Abide there, live there, sit there, sleep there. Make your home in it. Let it be something that overcomes and overflows your desire. Where your heart is, that it's not the idolatry of self and privilege, power, and place, but actually that it moves outward. That the desire of your heart is the Lord himself. And that your hope is that you will invite all who come to you to the table to join in.